Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Our guest today is Rio de la Vista, director of the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center at Adams State. Welcome to our studios on the South Side, Rio. It's great to see you.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here with you.
Hey, before we jump into what you have coming up, which is the Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium on February 26th, I want to ask you something that's been on my mind since I met you, or the first time I was introduced to you, which was 3-4 years ago, whatever it's been. And that's your name, Rio de la Vista, which I think is so cool, so unique. And I just wonder what the story is behind it.
Well, thank you. It came to me. It was a change. I changed my name to that in my 20s when I was working for John Denver's Foundation, and I was inspired by a lot of Native Americans. And I said, well, when they get to a turning point in their life, they change their name. And he had changed his name, and so I went, what name would I choose? And this is what came to me. In the Rio, the river, I was living in the Aspen area, and I kind of knew about the Rio Grande, but I think it was a premonition because I love the word Rio. A river always always gets where it's going. You might dam it, we might divert it, we do a lot of things, but it ends up flowing to its destination, and I like that metaphor. And then the vista was to try to make that flow from a high perspective, not just a broad, wide perspective. So it had a nice sound to it, and I
that is very so the story's as good as I was hoping for. I had no idea, Rio, and thank you for sharing that with us.
And aspiration.
I have to say that I didn't know of you. I had just come back to the San Luis Valley, and they had made an announcement that you were coming to Adams State, and I just remember how excited people were when they heard that Rio de la Vista was going to come to Adams State, and they weren't quite sure what all the work you were going to do, but I do remember that time, Rio, and I think that just says a lot about you, the work you've done through the years. And before, again, we get into more work of the Salazar Center, I'm hoping you can share a little bit more of your background and how you got to where you are today.
So, yeah, so the Rio was calling me, and I lived in, the next place I lived was Pagosa Springs, and I got involved in land trust there, and land management, and ranch management, and land restoration and through management. And I met this woman up at Wolf Creek Pass skiing, Kathy McNeil, and she was starting the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust and invited me to come over and start going to some meetings. And once I saw the valley and the conservation opportunities here and the vast extent of agriculture and the deep roots of that agriculture just inspired me. I said, this is worth conserving. So I was able to get involved at the beginning of the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust and work with that. So that's really introduced me to landowners around the valley. And the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust really started to after the last water exportation threat, what are the tools we can use to try to secure our water to this basin for the long term? And that was a big part of our work and the Rio Grande Initiative to conserve the working ranches and the senior water rights along the river corridors of the valley.
Well, there's palpable excitement when your announcement came out, and you've been doing some great work over what it's been 4 or 5 years right now. And I have to say another thing that I have found very impressive of you, Rio, is your Rolodex. Now, I think I have a pretty good Rolodex through my years of work as a journalist, but I have to say you have a very good Rolodex. So
I guess that's one of the things I can't help myself. I love to connect with people and connect them to each other because that's where a lot of things happen from those connections. So
yeah. So coming up on February 26th is the 4th State of the Basin Symposium at Adams State. And I just want you first to give us some sense of how this got started, why it's got started, and then what's in store for this year's event on the 26th.
I Cleve Simpson, who's now our state senator and is the general manager of the Rio Grande Water Conservation District, was chair of the Board of Trustees of Adams State, and in various water discussions and looking at how Adams State could contribute to the valley's water future and be part of an educational source, you know, a source of education information about this absolutely critical issue of our water supply, our water future. And the Colorado River District was hosting their, they call it State of the River. And I went, well, we could use something like that, where each year they kind of update everybody on what's the snowpack, what are the issues that are revolving around their water in that area. And I thought, well, that's something I think this valley could use too. And so let's offer a annual event. And luckily the first year we got to hold it in person at Adams State, and we had our newly elected Attorney General Phil Weiser spoke, along with the former Attorney General, the founder of the Salazar Center, Ken Salazar, and a lot of other people. And I think it really meets a need for this community. And it really is targeted to the people in the valley who care about water but maybe have jobs that don't allow them to go to water meetings mm-hmm. 5 days a week or even 1 day a week or 1 day a month. So that's why it's on a Saturday, February 26th, to make it accessible to people. And when we started planning it, we had to make a decision of to go in person again or try to go in person or do it virtually, and things were just too uncertain.
This year's event is virtual again.
Yeah. It just wasn't ready to put 300 people in a room together at Adams State, and this makes it accessible in different ways to people, and certainly will be recorded and posted along with all the past symposium content and other speakers that we've had.
And I know in looking at this year's event, you really want to address what is really a triple threat to the Rio Grande Basin, the Upper Rio Grande Basin, and that triple threat is, one, an over-appropriation and over-pumping of groundwater from the basin. Two, a threat, an external threat from the outside, in this case, a proposal to export 22,000 acre feet of water from the basin north, potentially to Douglas County. That's a second threat. And then the third threat, of course, is our changing climate. And Senator Simpson, as you know, has been very consistent in every time I've heard him talk, where he really makes a strong point that we've been in a 20-year drought. And so how does this year's symposium address those three threats specifically?
Well, the theme that came to me, we lost recently one of Colorado's great water leaders, Justice Greg Hobbs, who had been on the Colorado Supreme Court and was the most knowledgeable person, arguably, on the Supreme Court for quite a long time in terms of water. And he was also a poet. In his book of poetry, one of the chapter titles is In Scarcity, the Opportunity for Community. And when I read that, that spoke to me. That's what we have here in the valley. We have scarcity. And from those threats that you described internally that we've created ourselves through this, you know, and maybe it was more sustainable in the past. It is, you know, by the evidence, by the aquifer levels in the past, we could sustain this much pumping, but that has expanded through maybe crop changes and things like that. So now we're trying to deal with that. And that's one of those opportunities for community. Can we solve this challenge as a community together? And then the second one that also the community has to rally around is dealing with this threat of exportation. And what are the ways we can meet the needs of the people who maybe aren't going to be able to continue to farm given this reduction in water availability, but at the same time not put them in a position of having to sell their water for an external diversion. And then all of us are under the same, like you said, whether it's a drought or climate change, we know that, you know, every bit of science tells us there is less water, there's warmer temperatures, there's, you know, more drying of soils, this aridification it's been going on across the West and around the world. So there's a lot of strategies we can use to address that and be more resilient in the face of that and make the water supply that we do have more effective. You know, doing that fairly, doing that that sustains our valley's economy, those are big challenges.
Hey, we're talking to Rio de la Vista and the upcoming Rio Grande State of the Symposium. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rio de la Vista, director of the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center at Adams State University. I want to invite you to participate in our upcoming State of the Basin Symposium. To register for this free virtual event about our Valley's water issues and solutions, go to tinyurl.com, State of the Basin 2022. That is tinyurl.com/State of the Basin 2022. And then join us from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 26th. See you there.
AlamosaCitizen.com is the digital news source for the San Luis Valley. We are guided by the idea that citizenship matters to the individual and to their community. Unlike many other sites, the Citizen makes its content available to everyone, regardless of what they can afford to pay. We do this because we believe informed citizens create better communities. If you like what you've seen and heard so far, please become an AlamosaCitizen.com member. We have no out-of-town shareholders or billionaire owners. Your membership makes our reporting possible and keeps it free for all to access. But whether or not you can donate, we're honored to be at your service. It's our mission to keep the San Luis Valley informed and engaged. Thank you for trusting us to do that. To become a member, go to AlamosaCitizen.com and hit Become a Member and give what you can. We appreciate it. Hey, for 39 years, Mark and Mary and Laura have brought a smile to people's faces and happiness to their stomach with their always homemade, always delicious food. Open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, Laura's Soft Spoken Catering to-go menu features some of the classics. Spaghetti and meatballs, chicken fettuccine alfredo, chicken parmesan, and scrumptious desserts like cream puffs and strawberry cheesecake. There's really no reason to cook tonight when you have Laura's Soft Spoken Catering in Alamosa. To place an order to go, go to larassoftspokencatering.com. That's larassoftspokencatering.com. It's always homemade and always delicious.
Hey, we're back and we're talking to Rio de la Vista, the director of the Salazar at the Rio Grande del Norte Center at Adams State University in Rio. There was a new study that came out this morning, published in the Nature Climate Change Journal, and it was fascinating. I read it earlier, and basically what they reported, the scientists, is that we are in the driest 22-year stretch going back 1,200 years. And let me repeat that. From 2000 to present day, we are in the driest period we've basically ever been in. The scientists examined major droughts in the southwestern North America going back to the year 800. And this 22-year period we are currently in is the driest 22-year cycle we've ever seen. What does that tell you about the importance and relevance of the state of the symposium that you're staging, and what does that tell you about the work that you're doing at the Salazar Center on the campus of Adams State?
Yeah, that is sobering, to be sure. And I think people who are here and paying attention probably aren't surprised by that data. It kind of verifies our experience here. Certainly there's variables year to year. We get some good wet years, but one good year doesn't change the long-term trend, and that's what we're feeling and seeing in our aquifer levels and a lot of other indicators in our landscape and our vegetation and species and things like that. I mean, our local biologists with wetland dynamics have said that the migratory ducks that are coming in a day and a half sooner every year mm-hmm. to the valley, and that's documentable, evidence of something's changing.
When I was at the Ag Conference a couple weeks ago, and Craig Cotton, who you're familiar with and his work with Water Resource, he was saying that the Rio Grande will peak flow in June, and by July, it's down and it's below and there's nothing left. And so irrigators are seeing such an early spring runoff, and then they're struggling from there. And we know that even last year, we saw farmers had wells shut off in one of the sub-districts. We know that that's an ongoing threat for crop producers here in the valley. And what is the participation of farmers, ag industry, when it comes to the Rio Grande State of the Basin?
Well, I hope that they will attend, and I hope that people that aren't, I mean, I think most of the farmers, if they have water rights and they're using the water rights, they hopefully are pretty up to speed on what their future holds and how they can participate in these groundwater management sub-districts and some of the local solutions, which may or may not really get us where we need to go in that whole the aspect of groundwater. But that's one of many local efforts that the community's trying and, you know, came up with that concept, and it's fairly unique, I think, to this valley and being looked at across the country because we're not the only ones facing groundwater depletion.
Right.
By any means.
You know, one of the guest speakers that you're bringing in really caught my attention, and that's Maria Montoya from NYU. Really interesting speaker that you've lined up. And I'm wondering, what is it that you're hoping she brings to the symposium? And can you give us what her Thai connection is to the valley? Because I know there is one, yes?
Sure, yes. We were lucky to connect with her. She actually has deep family roots in this valley. Her family's from west of Ventanito in the Magoti area. And so she spent time here as a child. She didn't grow up here, but she, I think, as she described, I think Albuquerque, quite a bit of time in Denver, had affiliation with CU Boulder. She earned her bachelor's, master's, and PhD at Yale University and is a historian. So I think that historical perspective and the chances I've had so far to talk with her just really makes me go, oh, this is going to be really powerful for us because there's a lot of social, cultural, historical dynamics that I think if we better understand those will help us hopefully plan our future more thoughtfully as well. And so when she's studied a lot of the dynamics that have happened here in the Southwest, even though she teaches at NYU and she teaches at NYU Shanghai. So
interesting.
She's going to bring a global perspective. And, you know, in talking with her, she says this, you know, same kind of issues are happening around the planet right now, especially in these arid areas. And then what do we see in the wet areas? We see increased flooding. So water is, nature's distributing water in new and dynamic and fairly extreme things. And we tend to be in the dry area, so our extreme is more dry. Mm-hmm. Wet areas are sometimes tending to be more wet. And then when we do get, you know, the wetness may come in really large quantities that are harder to use and cause flooding and things like that. So I think her global perspective and historical perspective are going to be really interesting. And her next project is, which is why she's excited to connect with us and be connect with people here in the valley and plug into my Rolodex, I guess, will be a study on water scarcity in the Rio Grande in the Southwest. So that's her next research project, and I think she's excited to be part of this as well, from that to connect her into the people and the information that's going to help her tell that story.
You know, one of the things I always wonder about Rio, and you know, you follow it closely because it's part of your work, and that's water as a resource, the scarcity of water, not just in the valley, but as you're pointing out, globally. And I wonder how much the general populace understands where we are with water as a precious resource. And I wonder if you have thoughts there based on your work and you get around a lot talking about water. Where do you think we are as a people, just basically understanding the problem and what's ahead of us as that resource gets even more scarce, more finite? Where do you think our knowledge is, just as generally?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, I think it's Ben Franklin said, we'll know the value of water when the well runs dry. And, you know, people, if the water comes out of your faucet, maybe, or out of your hose to water your lawn, maybe doesn't, you know, if you're stressed out or thinking about paying the bills and getting to work and doing all those things, it's not so easy to think about these bigger pictures. So hopefully the wells won't run dry for these households. But I think, you know, the people in the valley are so close to the agricultural community. They're either related to someone or involved themselves in agriculture or see it everywhere they go, and then, or they're here and they're enjoying the recreation, and they, wow, we can't float the river as long as we used to be able to, because it, like you were saying, the flows are diminishing earlier in the season. So that's, you know, and if you want to hunt ducks or go fishing, some of those dynamics are changing. Maybe you, if the river's really low, the water's too warm, they're saying, please don't go fishing in the afternoon when the water's too warm because the fish can't stand it, the stress. So it shows up in all different ways for people, and hopefully when it shows up for them, they'll be curious. And that's what this symposium is trying to be, kind of a translation of the complexities of our water situation for people who can't make it a full-time study or full-time engagement, but they care because they see what something's happening, and we care, but what can we do about it? What is anybody doing about it?
Yeah. I want to ask you about renewable water resources. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
Here's a great way to support the veterans of the San Luis Valley. The Committee for the Alamosa Veterans Memorial Park Project is working to raise $400,000. To support their work, you can call Janet Yon at 719-588-0484. The committee also maintains a Facebook page. Search Alamosa Veterans Memorial Park Project on Facebook and stay up to date. San Luis Valley has an estimated 4,800 veterans, or about 10% of the valley's population. The Alamosa Veterans Memorial Park Project. Give today. AlamosaCitizen.com is the digital news source for the San Luis Valley. We are guided by the idea that citizenship matters to the individual and to their community. Unlike many other sites, the Citizen makes its content available to everyone, regardless of what they can afford to pay. We do this because we believe informed citizens create better communities. If you like what you've seen and heard so far, please become an AlamosaCitizen.com member. We have no out-of-town shareholders or billionaire owners. Your membership makes our reporting possible and keeps it free for all to access. But whether or not you can donate, we're honored to be at your service. It's our mission to keep the San Luis Valley informed and engaged. Thank you for trusting us to do that. To become a member, go to AlamosaCitizen.com and hit Become a Member and give what you can. We appreciate it.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Rio de la Vista with the Salazar Center at Adams State in Rio. You have an upcoming symposium on February 26th. And one of the hot topics going in is, of course, the renewable water resources proposal to export 20,000 acre feet potentially out of the valley. And that's in perpetuity. This is not just a one-time thing. You start it and you go on. And I've been listening a lot to the Douglas County Commissioner's sessions around this. And what strikes me after these weeks is they still seem to think that there's water available to export. And they're of that view, even though the state engineer, deputy engineer, they've all been very clear in those sessions to say the Rio Grande is over-appropriated. There is no water to export. There is no available water even to take care of the current crop producers. And that's been very clear. But the Douglas County commissioners persist with this notion that there is water to export. And you know Renewable Water Resources thinks that as well, even though they want to one-to-one replace it, renew it. How does the Salazar Center, or what are your thoughts there about? And I understand suburbs fast that need water. We've talked about that these places need water. But they persist on the valley being that straw they can sink into and get water. But it's not there. Everything shows that. Where do you think this is, and what are your thoughts about all of that?
Yes, it's one of those incredibly challenging things. We've fought it before. Since the last time there was a threat of water exportation, a lot of things have changed. The aquifer has been severely depleted, even more since the last time. You know, the climate is changing since the last time. And Colorado's population is growing really rapidly. And so I would challenge Douglas County and anybody else that wants to dry up more farms to grow residential communities, be creative. We're trying to be creative in solving and living within the means of the water supply that we have here. I would ask them to do the same and just as a last resort to come and take water out of a water scarce community already and use it to grow for their economic development, because what it would do to our economic development and our environment, the wetlands, we've already lost something like 60% of the valley's wetlands. How much more are we going to lose? What's acceptable? It's not acceptable to me. I want to restore some of what we've already lost, let alone diminish it even more. And the groundwater is a big factor in all those elements of our quality of life, our economy here. So even the word renewable, I take issue with, because renewable in what way? I mean, does appear from the studies that have been done for decades now, monitoring the aquifer levels, we can restore this aquifer. Not every aquifer appears to be recoverable, like the Ogallala. It's, the chances of them, they're going to pump that until it's gone, and then maybe in some millennia it might come back. But ours shows we can restore it to some level if we don't keep extracting as much. And so to have another extraction that takes it out of the system, I mean, that the word colonialism comes to my mind. I mean, the rich and growing areas will come and take a resource from a less affluent area that's also providing food for the other parts of the state and also providing a recreation site and providing wildlife habitat and diminish all those things so that they could grow their economy. And it's like, we're one state, we're one people, we're one country. How can we find a better solution than being, victims of a colonial mindset within our own basin and our own communities?
Mm-hmm. The Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center at Adams State, which is something you put together in collaboration with Ken Salazar and his family, and I'm wondering where that is. 4 years into it, I know you recently established a water minor at Adams State, which is awesome, and a brand new academic program, and you do a lot of work. Can you give us a sense of the Salazar Center itself and how it works to try to address some of these topics?
Sure. The symposium is certainly one, large, the kind of our annual big event, and then we've held a number of other talks when people are coming through town, like our Justice Greg Hobbs, when he was here for another event, we got him to do a public talk so that people could benefit from his amazing way of just talking about water and its history. And then I also saw that we need to grow, and that was a big part of my going to Adams State and seeking out this position, was all the conservation work I've done, I'm not going to get it. There's more to do, and we got to grow the next generation of conservationists, of people with water knowledge. And there's so many careers. If you're in college and you whether you want to be in the sciences or agriculture or business or law or communications or food studies or recreation or on and on, every one of those, engineering, every one of those careers, you could benefit as an individual with water knowledge and water literacy. So that's something I thought, this is really an interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary subject that connects all these things, connects Adams State to the larger community. There's some great education programs going on with the Rio Grande Basin Roundtable that I've been on since 2005. There's the Water Leaders Class. There's a restoration project. There's many, many conservation partners working here in the valley. And we just thought this, bringing it in through the academic lens and making it a water studies minor, institutionalizing it, where people could take water classes and get college credit for it. We're really excited because we've had a bunch of community members come and take it and audit it too, because I think they, for example, Vern Hersink, the Alamosa County Commissioner, is joined now. He's in the second semester of class with us, and he said, I have to make decisions about this. I need to learn about it. So what a great thing to be able to offer him and other community members who, either for professional development or the roles and responsibilities they have, there's just another avenue to learn about this pretty complicated subject.
Tell us who else you have coming to the State of the Basin Symposium on the 26th. I know you have some other speakers. We talked about Maria Montoya coming in, but I know you have others.
We do, and she's our keynote speaker. And we have such a rich well of, to use a metaphor, of expertise in this community. So we'll have our state division engineer, Craig Cotton, talk about the state of the basin. Where are we with our snowpack and our flow projections and some of the other issues that the state as the water managers deal with. And then we're very excited to have our longtime colleague at Adams State, Armando Valdez, be our master of ceremonies. And you may know he just took on a new role as the state director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Office. So, but he will make a return to be our master of ceremonies. And then we have a panel, like you described earlier, on the what is up with the aquifers and the sub-districts. So we have a panel, Amber Pacheco from the Rio Grande Water Conservation District, farmer, rancher George Witten from the Swatch area, and then Charlie Goodson, who works with Kawa Open Lands. And they're working on possibility of using the conservation easements on groundwater as a tool to help make it viable for farmers to maybe take some time off of pumping and help restore the aquifer, but also have not go out of business. So he'll be talking about that. We're really excited to premiere a film that our local producer, Christy Bodie, now with the new last name, Sky, is completing. It's called Farm to Faucet, and it's about this dynamic across the state of water that's moving from farms to people's faucet. And it'll just be the trailer. It should be airing on PBS, hopefully this spring. Then the exportation threat, we'll have Heather Dutton, who's been, she's the manager of the San Luis Valley Water Conservation District and our representative on the statewide Colorado Water Conservation Board. And Michael Carson from the district will be talking about that and how people can get involved and learn more about that exportation. And then drawing from outside the valley on the issue of climate change, I think quite a few people here are familiar with the journalist Laura Paskus, who wrote for a long time with High Country News and now is the environment reporter for New Mexico PBS and just recently wrote a book about climate change on the Rio Grande. So she'll be covering that subject for us. And then we have some updates on the new water plan that was developed for the Rio Grande Basin with Emma Reeser from the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project. And then Becky Mitchell, the head of Colorado Water Conservation Board, will talk about how these basin plans are rolling up into the new statewide Colorado water plan. And finally, our Senator Simpson will talk about water legislation that's in the works right now in Denver at the legislature. So
that's a pretty full agenda and a pretty full lineup. It goes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 26th. We want to make sure people know that. If they want to register for the event, and this again is the Rio Grande State of Basin Symposium. If you want to register, you can go to tinyurl.com. That's tinyurl.com/stateofthebasin2022. If you follow that link, you will be able to register, and you'll be able to hear from all of these really fascinating experts around water and the problems that we're currently having. What else, Rio, would you like to tell us about the upcoming symposium?
Well, I think, you know, I want people to know that this is to bring them up to date, what the state of the basin, state of these different issues, and hopefully spark their curiosity and go, each one of these can open into a vast area of study and information, and we're not going to be able to cover the vastness of each one in a morning, but we wanted to cover the range of them because I think they're all interconnected. We can't address our long-term stability and of our economy and our agriculture in this valley without being aware of what's happening with the climate and the larger dynamics that we're in. We are, you know, the risk of water being exported from the valley also affects those same things. So, and then having that historical global perspective that Maria Montoya is going to bring, I think will hopefully make us feel not so maybe hopeless sometimes or worried that we're not the only ones. People are up against it, and hopefully we can share creative ideas across even beyond our basin and to other parts of the world that are dealing with similar, different circumstances, but similar dynamics.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I want to ask you if you've heard from Ken Salazar, the U.S. ambassador to Mexico, who is a big part of the Salazar Center and his family, and I wonder if you've heard from him. And then I just want to ask you what else you have coming, because I know you always have something going, Rio. What else we might see moving forward from you and from the Salazar Center?
Well, thanks. And I don't hear from Ken as much as I used to. He has a pretty big portfolio being ambassador to Mexico. And I appreciate that I think we have challenges. That's a pretty challenging job to have now, too. But he and his family founded the center to try to help the valley in one more way. I mean, we're all trying to help ourselves, and together we feel different pieces of that solution for the long term. And I'm just grateful to get to work with so many great partners, from nonprofits to agencies to districts to our press like yourself. So we're looking ahead. I mean, another dimension that, having worked in land and conservation for so long, we're not going to, and we probably shouldn't use this tool of a conservation easement on every place in the valley. But we have achieved a lot, not just with Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust, but across the board with Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust, Cal Open Lands, Nature Conservancy. There's a lot of land conserved. But how we grow as a, where do we site new development, residential developments ourselves? How do we just sprawl out and divide up the beautiful working ranches and those water rights, or can we grow in more thoughtful ways? So there's a workshop that the Sonoran Institute is funded by the Colorado Water Conservation Board called Growing Water Smart. So we're co-hosting that in June for land use planners, elected officials. It's not a public workshop, because it's really meant to delve into what are the policies, what are the codes, what are ways that we could make sure that from those angles, counties, cities, growth planning are also trying to be part of the water solution.
There's a lot out there, Rio. You're in one of the meatiest areas of study in action that I can think of.
I want to really thank the sponsors of the symposium this year as well. The Rio Grande Water Conservation District is our co-host of this annual event, and we have generous support from the Colorado Water Conservation Board, the San Luis Valley Chapter of Trout Unlimited, because you know those fish need water too, the Canales Water Conservancy District, the San Luis Valley Irrigation District, the San Luis Valley Water Conservancy District, Colorado Open Lands, and Headwaters Alliance. Thank you all for your generous support.
You've been listening to The Valley Pod, part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. The Valley Pod is produced by Angel Rodriguez. We'll see you around the valley.